We thank you, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, verse 13. Then after some days, King Agrippa and Bernice came down to Caesarea to greet Festus. So again, we see Festus. He's now being visited here by King Agrippa in verse 1 with Bernice. They're not married, and she's, I don't know what, living partner, I guess you want to say. But if you think you have family problems, I was looking at the history of King Agrippa here. If you think you have family problems, if you think that your family is off the wall or you're going through issues, listen to their family heritage, because I really believe heritage is so important. We're called to lay down our heritage, to pass it down to our children and to our children's children. So whatever you give your children, that's going to be passed down. But I want you to listen to their heritage, because here, King Agrippa here in verse 1, he's the son of Agrippa the First, so he's kind of like junior, okay? And Agrippa the First, he's the son of Herod. Now, Herod's the one who tried to deceive the wise men. Remember, and when Jesus, at that time of his birth, he wanted to deceive the wise men, say, hey, you know, go find out where he is, that I too may go worship him. But he had other intentions. His intentions was to kill him. And so he was that Herod. And then his great uncle was the one who beheaded John the Baptist. And then his father, Agrippa the first, he was the one who ordered the execution of James. And also he was the one who had Peter thrown into prison in Acts chapter 12, wanting to execute him. But again, remember, the angel of the Lord came, released him from the prison, open the doors, open all the gates. He walked through everybody, came. He knocked on the door where the apostles and others were praying for his release. And I think it was Rhoda, I could be wrong, looked out there and saw Peter, went back, said, hey, Peter's at the door knocking. And they came and they're like, it's his ghost. It's his ghost, you know. And he said, hey, the very thing that you, and I love that story, because the very thing they were praying for, God answered. And here they thought, wow, this ain't real. It's like, here I am, you guys are praying for my release, here I am. And so that's in Acts chapter 12, excuse me. And then Agrippa the second, right here, that came to visit Festus, he's considered last of the Herods now. And so Agrippa, he comes with Bernice. Again, it doesn't say that's his wife, because it would have said his wife Bernice. Because they were never married, but they lived together. Now, Bernice was actually Festus' wife's sister. And history tells us that she eventually left Agrippa for Titus, not the apostle Titus, okay? Titus, the Roman general who led the armies who were prophesied that destroyed Jerusalem, burned the temple down, got all the gold. And so that was Titus, the Roman general who led them. And then Bernice, we're told that didn't stay with Titus too long, but she went back to Agrippa the second. So somehow, I think my family heritage is looking much better, right? Maybe yours too. How would you like to have been part of that family? Going down your heritage and seeing all the resistance against God. But you know what? We have a lot of resistance in our family, and that's why God has us there to what? To bring Christ. And I remember when I received Christ and taking it to my family, and they received Christ, and it goes on and goes on. And I love it now that when I'm at home, my granddaughter, Gia, she comes out when she has to go to bed. She doesn't want to go to bed. She fights it. I mean, I'm talking fight. And she'll scream and she'll do everything she can to try not to go to bed. And one of those things is she'll come run out. No, 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 I got to pray, Poppy. No, no, I got to pray. And she'll come out and she'll say, pray, let's pray. And so I will say, okay, let's pray. And I'll say, you go first. And she always prays the same thing, though. She prays, Lord, help me to go to the bathroom in the toilet. You know? And little practical things. And so then I'll lead her in prayer. I'll say, and pray that, Lord, help you be a good girl. Help me to be a good girl. Help me to be a good listener. Help me to be a good listener. Jesus, stay in my heart. Jesus, stay in my heart. And so that's the heritage I want to pass down. And because of that, now she comes to me for prayer. She comes to me to say, let's pray. So I think passing down your heritage is very important. And so important that you pray with your children, you pray, and you share God's word. And so this is part of their family. Now look at verse 13. It says, and after some days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to greet Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, there is a certain man left a prisoner by Felix, about whom the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me when I was in Jerusalem, asking for a judgment against him. To them I answer, it is not the custom of the Romans to deliver any man to destruction before the accused meets the accusers face to face and has opportunity to answer for himself concerning the charge against him. Therefore, when they had come together without any delay, the next day I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought in. And when the accusers stood up, they brought no accusations against him of such thing as I supposed, but I had some questions against him about their own religion, about a certain Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I was uncertain of such questions, I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem and there be judged concerning these matters. But when Paul appealed to be reserved for the decision of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept here till I can send him to Caesar. So again, we see Festus. Again, he's the new governor of Caesarea. He took over for Felix. He's we see him seeking the advice and the counsel of King Agrippa here. So at this point, you know, he's not sure what to do. He has no clue about what Paul mentioned about in regards to Jesus. He says that in verse 18 about Jesus and about the resurrection of the dead that Paul mentioned when he was there. And then we have King Agrippa. He's visiting, obviously, Festus. He's there to congratulate him on being the appointed new governor. And so he arrives on the scene. So he's pretty much, Festus is pretty much looking for the help on how to present Paul, how to present his case to the high officials of Rome. Because Paul, he said, I'm a Roman citizen, so I want to stand before Caesar. And because those words, there was no way that he could not allow him to go. He had to let him go. But he didn't know how to present his case to Caesar and all the high officials of Rome. Because, again, Festus knew that if he sent Paul there and didn't know what's going on and in regards to Jewish religion, Caesar probably would think and see him incompetent to do the job for sending Paul there to Rome without valid accusations or for a good cause. So he wanted King Agrippa to help him. All right, you're here. I'm going to bring Paul out. And now you're going to hear him because King Agrippa wants to hear him. And maybe you can help me find out, okay, how can we deal with this? So Festus, he had no understanding of Jesus in the resurrection. He was clueless. But the beautiful thing about that is Paul made him accountable to the truth. When he shared the gospel with him, at his Festus hearing it, he was now responsible to what he did know and what he heard. He was responsible to respond to the message of salvation, which was through Jesus Christ, just like each and every one of us. We are responsible for what we hear. Whenever you hear the word of God, whenever you read the word of God, you are responsible for what you do with it. And I think that's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, he says, you have to, therefore, my brother, as you always obey, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So, in other words, what you are in public, you need to be in private. Well, you're here hearing the word of God. You're here praising the Lord, and you're worshiping the Lord in our presence of each other. But when you leave here and you're by yourself, Are you still worshiping and praising God then? Paul says, hey, as you obey in my, not only in my presence also, but now much more in my absence. He says, you got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And then again, James, these are the scriptures that I shared last week. James chapter 1, verse 22. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So just like Festus, you know, he couldn't hear from the Lord because why? He was all mixed up. He didn't know the Lord, and it's the same with us. We can be mixed up also. I had to think about this. How can me, as a Christian, how can I be mixed up also, Lord? If I think that, if I just read the Word, if I just read the Word, I can deceive myself by thinking that that's enough, that I'm obeying the Word of God. And you can agree with what I'm sharing with you this morning. You can agree with the Bible studies that you hear, the radio, on the radio. You can say right on and amen. But you can deceive yourself if you think just reading and hearing what is required of you from the Word of God, and then you don't do it. You're deceiving yourself. You might think that's enough. I'll just listen. That's enough. I'll read. That's enough. And I'm good. I'm obeying God. No, you have to be a doer of the word. You have to take what you hear and you got to apply it to your life. Not that you're perfect, because we're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Pastor Tony, he's perfect. Yeah. I got to get him before I leave. But we're not perfect. But that, I think that's, you got to be careful you don't deceive yourself thinking that just reading and listening what the word requires from us, but don't doing it, you become like a double-minded person. Someone who looks in the mirror, you look at yourself in the mirror, then you walk away and you forget what you look like. I think that's the great deception on our part, to read, to study, and listen to the word of God, to agree with it, but not live it, or not allow it to lead us in our life. That's, I think, is a big deception. Because if the Lord is showing you through the Word of God how to live it, don't just agree with it. Don't just say, amen, praise God. Be a doer of it. It's easy to say one thing and then to do it. In fact, I think because if we don't do it, then we're going to be according to Psalms chapter 1, 15, verse 3. The psalmist said this. Listen to this. I used to be like this. He says, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their gods, their idols are silver and gold in the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they don't speak. They have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they do not hear. They have noses, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. They have feet, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throats. And those who make them are like them, and so is everyone who trusts in them. Heavy. Don't be like an idol. Don't be a replica of the world. Be according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You know it very well. Paul says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're God's workmanship. And you guys know what the Greek meaning of that is. It's poema. It's where we get the word poem. So we're got the existence. We're God's expression. What God is feeling, he's trying to express that through us. We're his poem. I don't know. A lot of you guys, ladies, are like to write poems. It's okay, guys. It's okay that you like poetry. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. I once in a while I like to bust a poem now and then. I'll make it up right there on the spot, you know, and I find myself doing that more now, being with my granddaughter Gia. And it's funny because I find myself singing everything with her. We sing it. When I talk with her, we actually sing it and we repeat things. We can, we're walking, walking on. She'll say it and we just do it. March, march. You know, it's awesome. Well, we're expressing what's in our heart. Well, that's what God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be a replica of the world. He wants us to be an image of Him. Created, a workmanship created through Christ Jesus for what? For good works, for God's works, which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then Luke chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, hey, more than when He told His disciples, hey, look what we did. I did this, I did that. He said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. There's a blessing when you read the word of God, but there's even a more blessing when you keep it, when you do the word of God. Aren't you blessed? Especially in the midst of trials, of tribulation, in the midst of problems, circumstances. I am blessed when I do the word of God. Psalms 119, chapter 2 says, blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. And then I love what the Lord told Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's do this in verse 1 through 6. He says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all the blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of the ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowls. And blessed shall be you when you come in, and blessed shall be you when you go out. So don't just be a hearer of the word. You got to be a doer of the word. We got to be a replica of God. Now look at verse 22. And then Agrippa said to Festus, I also would like to hear this man myself. And tomorrow, he said, you shall hear him. So again, Agrippa says, hey, let me hear him. I'll hear him, and you know, we can come together, and we probably can bring up charges that you can write on your report to Caesar. So in verse 23, look at it. It says, so the next day when Agrippa and Bernice had come with great pomp, they had entered the auditorium with the commanders and the prominent men of the city. At Festus' command, Paul was brought in. So again, the hearing is taking place in this amphitheater in Caesarea, probably right there by the ocean, and it's packed with people, Agrippa and Bernice there, and they're looking very sharp, because notice what it says in 23, they came in with great pomp, so they're all dressed up, they're looking great. There are many dignitaries there, the royal guards are there, there's prominent people there, very well dressed. So they're looking pretty good, probably like a big, giant presidential banquet, you know. But they were there because the Lord has set it up. That's why they were there. They think they're there just to hear this case of Paul, hear about Paul and what's going on. But they are there to hear the Lord speak through Paul and to make them accountable to the gospel itself. That's why they're there. It's called divine appointment. See, when God gives you divine appointment, the whole purpose is so that that person can hear the gospel. Wherever you are, God wants somebody to hear the gospel, somebody to share the love of Christ. Even if it's just making a friend, being there to pray for them. In fact, my sister-in-law Julie, she's a X-ray technician, and she was telling me yesterday that she had to stay late. She normally, when they're done taking X-rays over at I think it's Zion Kaiser. That they call the doctor and say, okay, are we done with the x-rays? We're packing up, turning off the machines. And so the doctor said, you know what? I need somebody to stay late. And so there was two of them. And so there was a guy with her, and he said he had some things he had to do, so you don't mind staying? She said, yeah, I'll stay, no problem. Well, one of the persons was a lady, and she was crying and very upset. And so Julie told me she just went over there, and she just put her arm around her, and she just said, you know what, it's okay. Everything is going to be okay. You'll see. Things will work out, and you will be fine. And then this woman looked at her and said, you know what, thank you. Thank you just for encouraging me. That's a divine appointment. Now, she can't really come out and share Christ because she could get in trouble. Only if it does arise, then she can, because there's some doctors who will pray for you. There's doctors who pray in the operating room with the staff, and you don't know it. Well, you're under the sleepy juice, and you're wondering, what are they doing when I'm asleep? You know, they're praying for you. I have testimonies of that. So we're talking divine appointment. When you have a divine appointment for the Lord, it's because that person or somebody needs to hear the word of God. So this is what the case is. You got all these prominent people, dignitaries, the king there. They're all dressed up. They're looking sharp. The best of the best is there. And they're there because there's a divine appointment. And so, again, then the best of Rome is there. And then here we have Paul. Now listen, because historians, they give us a good description of Paul. You probably read how Paul, seen pictures of Paul according to history. But they tell us that Paul was a short man. Sounds familiar. Okay. Short man. Okay. Wow. They tell us that he was bow-legged. Yeah, sometimes I can look like I just ridden a horse. I don't know. They tell us that he had a long hooked nose, little bit of hair. I can relate to that. I love what Chuck Smith said. He says, I don't understand. How is it that we can grow hair on our backs and chest, but we can't grow it on our head? I agree. Well, I don't know. You know, I thought I was Mexican, and you guys heard that. I realized I'm not. I'm Jewish. Yarmulke. But I'd rather be Jewish. Okay, I'm a Jewish Mexican. So, Paul, he had a little bit of hair. He had bad, runny eyes, too, because in the scripture he tells us that he had to write in big letters. So, Paul, he was just one person. And yet, the Lord was with him right where, and he was right where God wanted him to be. And that was a divine appointment. But also, it shows us what the Lord can do for us. Man can only do with substance. They were all there, royal dignitaries, a king, and they had all the best of the best there. That is substance. Man can only put together things. He has to have materials. But our God had Paul there, and our God, he speaks things into existence. That's the difference between man and God. Man will try to create things that God makes. He needs materials. Our God, he just speaks it, and it happens. He spoke this world into existence, guys. He just spoke it and it happened. That's how big our God is. Now listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. Listen to what Paul said. He said, our God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom from God, the righteousness and the sanctification, the redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. I feel good now. That God chooses to use the foolish things to confound the wise. Amen? Yeah, just like us. Look around. There's no one mighty, no one noble, Paul said. Yet we are a royal priesthood unto him. We are his children. We are fools for Christ. And that's where I want to be. I want to be rich in faith. No, get me wrong. I would love to be rich and be a Christian, but I want to be rich in faith. I want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. And here, Paul's the very best that the world had to offer. God gave him the worst that he had to offer, Paul. But he was blessed, and it was all set up by God as a divine appointment. Because you can imagine Paul coming in with probably the same clothes that he wore on for who knows how long. He was under house arrest. You know, the robe, girded cloth. And here you got kings and dignitaries all dressed up looking very sharp. And yet God set it all up for them to hear the gospel, for them to be accountable. See, just we're all accountable to the word of God. Everything that you hear up here in the word of God, you are accountable to it now. You can never stand before God and say, I didn't know. Because God's going to say, you remember that little guy like Paul? That bow-legged guy, that guy with no hair? He shared it with you. You heard, and what did you do with it? Look at verse 24. And Festus said, King Agrippa and all the men who are here present with us, you see this man about whom the whole assembly of the Jews petitioned me, both at Jerusalem and here, crying out that he was not fit to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing deserving of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I decided to send him. So again, we see Festus saying here, I see this man. I see that he has done nothing worthy of death. But nevertheless, since he appealed to Augustus Caesar, I am required to send him. I got to send him now. Now look at verse 26. He says, I have nothing certain to write to my Lord concerning him. This is where he was kind of worried. He had nothing to write, certain. In other words, he had nothing concrete. He had nothing that he can send. We're talking Caesar, King Caesar of Rome. Therefore, I have brought him out before you, Agrippa, and especially before to the people and before King Agrippa, so that after examination has taken place, I might have something to write. For it seems to me unreasonable to send a prisoner and not to specify the charges against him. So again, we see Festus, he's trying to come up with some kind of good case to bring before Caesar. And as we end this chapter, we go into chapter 26, all that he's doing here and him and Agrippa, it really doesn't work out for him anyways. And then we're going to see in chapter 26, we're going to see how Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he gives his defense and he makes him accountable and he gives him the word of God. And remember, I love it back in chapter 24, when Paul was actually testifying before Felix, the first time when he came to Jerusalem, the Jews were there and he started sharing with them and they started trying to tear him apart. Felix came down with the guards and they took him into protective custody. And then Paul asked, may I speak? And he said, go ahead. And then he shared with him about what? About the righteousness of Christ. He shared with him about the temperance. And he shared with Felix about the judgment to come. And what Paul shared with him, it literally scared him. That he said, hey, okay, I will hear you again on a more convenient day. He didn't want to hear anymore. Because guess what? He's accountable now to what Paul had said. I don't want to hear it anymore. And for whatever reason, he just did not want to hear the truth. So I want to encourage you this morning, be an ambassador for Christ. Be a doer of the word so that the Lord may bless you, that he may keep you, that he may make his face shine upon you, that he may give you peace. Be accountable to the word of God. It's a beautiful thing. There's nothing wrong with it. The only time it's wrong is when you're like, oh, man, now I know I'm doing what I'm doing is wrong and I don't want to hear it because I know it. And if I hear it, I'm accountable to it. I love the fact that God takes the worst of us, gets rid of that, but he takes the best of us and he makes it better. Your gifts and you're in the worship that you have inside, God makes it even better. I thought he was going to change my appearance. He's going to change it. No, he just takes what's the good in me and he makes it better. And he uses it for his glory. So be encouraged. Be an ambassador for Christ. Take the word. Read it. Be a doer of it. Be accountable to it, because it will allow God to do more beyond what you could ever imagine and think. I never thought I would go to China. I didn't even want to get out of Golden Hills back then. Because you get out of Golden Hills, you're in trouble. I had to deal with all these other little gang areas. And then I become saved, and I'm actually loving them. I'm actually testifying with them. I'm going to China. I'm going here. I'm doing all this for the Lord. Why? Because to live for Christ, to die is gain. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you this morning. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for Paul's example, Lord. How, Father, you took a man who was probably looked upon as someone who's not very looking and not very wise, somebody looked down upon, and yet you used him to confound the wise. I think of Jesus when you were a little boy, and you were in the temple, and you went to, their parents took you, and they left, and they forgot about you, and they came back days later, and they found you in the temple sharing with the religious leaders, and how you confounded them, and they were like, "Who is this child?" And Lord, it's amazing how you use us. You'll use anybody who's willing to be used. That's all you want. You want availability. And Lord, if we have a heart to be used by you, then you will show us the opportunities to be used by you. We pray, Lord, that you continue to bless us. And Lord, help us to be accountable to your word. Help us to be doers of it. Help us to read it and not worry about the fact that we're not perfect, Lord. Let us not come to you trying to make ourselves perfect, because you want us to come as we are. And so, Lord, bless us now. And we do give you the glory and the honor. And Lord, bless our journeys as we leave tomorrow. And if you should delay, we'll be about your business. If you shall return, we will meet in the air. And we thank you, Father. We give you glory and honor. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.